Well, good evening, and I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I always feel better after I start with that. So you've been here all day. I still feel like I have to say that. Couldn't plug my computer in. The power supply is making it buzz. So this is new for me to use this computer. And when I bought it, they told me in the information that it had 6 hours of battery life for PowerPoint. So I think we're okay. I think if I hurry, I can probably get done before the battery runs out. I'm just kidding. You can see what my subject is tonight. Articles of Faith and Practice, number 17. And this should be familiar to us. But I thought I'd cover this, and it's just a review. These are things that all of you already know. When you were baptized into the Church of Christ, you agreed to these articles of faith and practice. You agreed that these were the things that you believed in. And so I thought, well, we'll just cover this one this evening, and most of you know what this one is about. So you've got a bishop standing in front of you, and you're going to hear a little bit about tithing this evening and about being a good steward. It says, we believe that all men are stewards of their worldly possessions and goods and answerable to God, both for how they are used and the manner in which they are secured. And that's a very, very important principle. You know, if we look in our Bible, and if you have a Bible program that does a word search like mine does, type in gold, wealth, any kind of word that you can think of that describes wealth and riches. In the Bible, there's all kinds of things said about it. And with good reason. It's a problem, or can be a problem, with us as human beings, as men. And so that's why there's so much in the Bible that deals with it, is because we have to keep that in check. We have to keep that desire for those worldly possessions in check. If we don't, it can interfere with our spiritual growth. It can interfere with our final reward. And so it's an important subject. And how we're stewards of that is very important. So it's got a scripture, 2 Nephi 6, verses 56 through 64. But woe unto him that has the law given, yea, that has all the commandments of God like unto us, and that transgresseth them, and wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. You know, that's one of the things we're stewards of. Our time, our probationary time, that we don't waste it. And so you think, well, what does that have to do with wealth? Well, you know, when you think about money, you know, how do you get it? You spend time to earn it. And we barter away that time that we're given for probation. We barter that away for wealth, for money. So how we get that money and what we do with it is important. It makes a difference. You know, if we spend all our days just seeking after wealth, and we may not really do anything terrible. We may not really necessarily break any sins in particular. But we can waste our time and look after the wrong things, and not be good stewards of the things that God has given to us. Oh, that cutting plan of the evil one. Oh, the vanities and frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, that they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God. But woe unto the rich, who are rich as to the things of the world. For because they are rich, They despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures, and wherefore their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And so what we do with our time, and what we do with the things that we earn is important. If that takes the place of our God, if that gets in the way of our spiritual growth, our spiritual well-being, it's going to impact our final reward. And so it's important that we understand that. You know, money is for some people, it's hard to come by. And for some of us, it comes a little bit easier. But, you know, in most of the countries that I've been in, a lot of times it's printed on a piece of paper. There's coins, and there's paper. And in this country, in a lot of European countries, it's plastic. And I can't eat any of them. I can't wear any of them. It won't shelter me. It's just basically worthless. And it's dirty. You know, if you think about where money has been, it's been all over the place. And you have no idea where it's been. And we grab it, we stick it in our pocket. And who knows what we just put in our pocket that's on that piece of paper. So why would we do that? It's because we place value on it. We place value on it greater than what it actually is because of what we think we can do with it. And so if I put that money in my pocket, it's still just a piece of paper. And it's not worth anything until I do something with it. And that is, I have to exchange it for goods, not to spend it. And so it's worthless until I spend it. And we can spend it on different things. And we spend it on the things that we want. And those things sometimes get in the way of our spiritual welfare. Those things sometimes get in the way of what is good and right between us and God, if they become the most important thing. And so we're stewards. We're stewards of that. And what we do with it, you know, our brother Jay in his sermon, he mentioned, you know, somebody asking for a few coins or a few cents and how he felt about that. And I've been in that same position. Somebody's asked for, you know, a dollar. They'll ask you for a dollar. Who carries a dollar nowadays? They're just, oh, just help me out. I just need $1. Well, they know if you get in your pocket, you're probably not going to have a dollar. You might have a 5 or a 10 or a 20. And so that's, you know, you're always leery of that scam. But like you said, what if it's an opportunity? What if it's an opportunity? And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when ye shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in the day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And so there's a lot in the Bible linking that wealth to good or bad. And I'm not reading these scriptures to say that it's bad to have money or that it's bad to be rich. You can be rich and still be right before God. It's just what you do with that money. And it's just, in the history of man, it's just unlikely that you can be very, very rich and be humble. It's unlikely that you can be very, very rich and serve God. But it is possible. And so it's very important that we consider how we make that money. And, you know, for young people, I'd say, you know, I say young people, people that are younger than me that are beginning their careers, or really anybody, it's important what you do when you, how you spend that time that you earn money. You know, if we're doing things when we to earn that money that injure another, you know, we have to answer to God for that. If we're doing things in our pursuit of wealth and our pursuit of a livelihood that causes to sin, we have to answer to God for that. And so we're stewards of how we earn that money. We're stewards of that time that we have, that we use it in a righteous manner. And that even how we go and pursue money and wealth, that we do it in a way that would please God. And that's what this means. That, you know, it says here, woe be woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. And so do you want to, you know, they say you can't not buy your way into heaven. But I'll say you can certainly buy your way out of it. You can spend all your time, get a pile of cash, and exchange it. And that's what this is telling me. And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And then Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. And so we shouldn't look at it about, you know, what we will lose. We shouldn't look at it like we're having to sacrifice something in this life to gain eternal life. Because that reward is so much greater than anything than we can earn or make or pile up or consume in this life. You know, this young man, we can judge this young man that was in here that it's talking about, that was sorrowful because he had great riches. You know, but you know, if we met him today on the street, we would say, you know, he's an okay guy. He wasn't an adulterer. He didn't commit any of those great sins. He kept the commandments from his youth and did all those things that God would ask him to do. He was obedient in all things. Except for one thing, money, wealth. And so it's obvious to me when I look at scriptures how grave it can be if we try to hold on to those things of this life, how grave and serious it can be if we don't heed the word of our Heavenly Father. And he said, they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, it doesn't really matter how much money you have. If it's $1,000, if it's $100, if it's $1,000,000. If you place a value on that that's greater than the value, then your walk with God or the words of Jesus Christ, then you're in jeopardy and you have a problem. You know, I've been to India with Brian and Dwayne and Buzz, and been to Africa and some of these places where it's really depressed economically, and they don't have a lot of money. You know, so we have a tendency to think about this is only a problem in a nation like the United States. You know, and I imagine it's not any different in the Philippines than it is any other place in the world. Been to Mexico and some parts of Mexico that were pretty poor. It's pretty poor. But if anybody places more value on their wealth, no matter how small or great it is, it's a problem. It's a problem for us spiritually, because the Lord is not able to communicate with us properly, because He is not able to have that spot in our hearts. He is not able to teach us what He needs us to teach. And so, you know, I'm like Jay. Somebody comes up to me and asks me for money, I have the same thought pattern. But I'm gonna tell you a little story, and I'm not picking on Jay, because I know everybody in here has done the same thing, you know. But there was this one, and this happened quite a while ago, and I debated whether to share it with you or not, but I think I will. I was headed home, rush hour traffic, waiting to get on the highway. It was cold. It was raining. There was snow on the ground. It was just a miserable Missouri day. And we were stopped in traffic trying to get onto I-70, which was running really slow because you know how it is. And there was a lady, and she was several cars up in front of me, and she was knocking on the windows, coming down the intersection, and I was just thinking, I hope she hurries up before that light turns green before she knocks on my window, because I knew she was going to ask for money, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. It just makes me feel comfortable, and after I drive by or leave, I always think, oh, did I do the right thing? And so then, you know, I'm just thinking, well, if that light changes before she gets to me, I kind of have an excuse, right? So anyway, it didn't happen. She's getting to me. She's at the car in front of me, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just gonna get out a couple dollars, give her a couple dollars, and she knocks on my window, and all I have is a $20 bill. So I was thinking, debating whether to get it to her. Something prompted me to go ahead and give her the $20. Just give her the $20. And I just thought, oh, you're being a fool. This is a waste of time. She's just going to, and I gave it. And she probably didn't use it for anything good. She probably, I don't know if she was a drug addict or whatever. But I gave her the $20, and the light turned red again. And so I'm stuck. And I think, well, okay, she's probably going to just continue to go down and see how much more money she can get from the people behind me. But she didn't. She took that money and, there was a little girl. She could have been older than 6 or 7 years old. And she was sitting over on the sidewalk, on the ground, all huddled up. I wouldn't even know she was there until I seen her mother walk over to her. She got her. She left. And I thought, I don't care what her mother does with the money. got the little girl out of that nasty cold wet rain. And I feel better. And so, we're stewards. We're stewards of what God gives us. And if we keep it in our pocket, if we keep it in our pocket because we're afraid to let it go, who knows what blessing we've kept from somebody. And we're told in Scripture that when we do these things, that when we help another that's in need, we help the poor and the needy, we've helped Jesus Christ. It's the same as if we've done it for Christ. So it doesn't matter how much. It doesn't matter how much money you have or what you're trying to hold on to or the value of it. If you put more value on it, it's Jesus Christ. And so we have to be good stewards. We have to think about what God gives us and what we do with it. And so I don't tell you that story to make me look like I'm better than my brother Jay at all. I just want us to think about just like Christ did. He wanted us to think about what's important. And we focus on what we've done. We focus on what we need. We focus on what's ours. And all that we have is what God has given us. And He wants us to know that, recognize that, and acknowledge that. We believe that all men are also stewards of their time and their talents and accountable to God for how they are used. Jacob 2:22-24. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God, and after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches. And if ye seek them, and ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and minister relief to the sick and the afflicted. And so that's our purpose. You know, that's what we should be about. Doing the work of our Heavenly Father. You know, there's a little joke. If you're having breakfast and there's eggs on the plate, and there's bacon on the plate, Which is most important, the eggs or the bacon? Well, the chicken participated in your breakfast, and that pig was wholly devoted to it. Well, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be putting bacon on the plate. We're supposed to be devoted. No, I'm not saying, I don't believe this is telling me that I'm supposed to go out and sell everything that I have and just give it away. I don't believe that's what it's telling me. But it is telling me to be free with my substance so that what I'm blessed with can bless others. So that what the Lord has given me, I can share with others. That others can be raised up. And so we can encourage others with those things, and we can bless others in those things. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto another one and to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter unto the joy of the Lord. And so, you know, we think about this, and so many times we hear this scripture used, and it's, and people talk about talents, that the musical talents or other talents that God gives us. But the word talent here is money. And that's the translation, is money. And I believe this really is talking not about our talents, art and music. It's talking about money. And it's telling us that money that the Lord gives us, you know, if we put it in our pocket and we just hold on to it and we don't use it for the purpose that he's given to us for, if we don't take that money out and we don't use it and multiply it and bless others with it, God's not going to be happy. You know, we all want God's blessings. We want, we pray for his help. We pray for his blessings. I pray for my job, that I'll do well, that I'll be able to have an income and earn that money. And God blesses me with it, and he wants me to bless others with it. He didn't give it to me so I could put it in my pocket. He didn't give it to me so that it could be a millstone around my neck so that I could buy my way out of heaven. He gave it to me for a purpose, to bless me and to bless others. And that's what this is talking about. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And so if we want those blessings to come, if we want those blessings to keep coming, what do we have to do? We have to be like the servant with the 5 talents. And then God will bless us that much more. And that's how it is for the church. I believe that's how it is for the church of Christ. If the church of Christ is going to grow and prosper, we have to share the wealth. We have to share the gospel. We have to teach others about the blessings of Jesus Christ. And we have to share this information. And we have to show them by example of what's important to us. We have to take some of that money out of our pocket and give it over so that God may use it, so that it can serve his purpose. And that's what these servants did, and they pleased the Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, Lord, I knew that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strown. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to use exchangers. Then at my coming I should receive mine own with usury. Take therefore that talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know what? Our apostles go out. And they go out into these countries. You know, I've talked to Brian. I had talked to Frank and about his experiences in the Philippines when they first went. I've talked to some of them. And what they've told me is that when they get to these places, God had already prepared a way. God had already prepared the hearts of people to receive what they had been sent to reap. Because they were sent to gather in what God had sown. Just like it says here in this parable. And so I believe what this is talking about is how we are to use our wealth and our tithings in this day. It's encouraging to me to read this. Because when I think about where the church is today, and we've all been talking about it, and it'll be mentioned again, I'm sure, about the lack of tithing that's coming into the church. You know, we have to be careful if we are trying to hold on to what we have and not use it for God's purposes. We can be in danger. We can be in danger of this very, very thing. And we might have that happen to us, what happened to the unfaithful servant. And so when I look at, and see, you know, this is, you know, as a bishop, I'm probably a bad bishop. Because when I look at our bank account, I'm looking at that money and I'm thinking about the work that it's going to do. I'm thinking about God's purpose in it, though I don't know what it is yet. And so I don't want to see it wasted. I don't want to see it used for something that's not appropriate. But I'm not afraid to use it when the need arises, when that purpose is known and made known. And so God knows. He sees everything that's coming in the future. He knows what we're going to need. And so he knows what we've got to have in tithing. And he's going to bless me so I can give my 10%. He's going to bless you so you can give your 10%. He's going to bless all of us so that we can give our offerings, make that extra outreach that we need to make so that we can be good and faithful in these days. You know, we had a hailstorm. And it damaged the building here, and we need to replace the siding. It's time to replace the roof. It's going to cost us a lot of money. And so we've got it. We can do it. There's enough money in the savings to go ahead and do it. And that's because we've been blessed, and it's there. And God's seen that the need was going to come, that we were going to need to have it. He knew this day was going to come when tithing was going to be down. And he's seen to it. And he took care of it. And everything's going to be fine. But what we have to do is keep our eye on the big picture and not worry about those little things. Keep our mind and our focus on Jesus Christ and his purpose. And remember that it's all in his control. We are to pay tithes and offerings to the church as required by God with the promise of his blessings. This is written in the Book of Mormon. It's 3 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 9 through 18. And you can find the same exact thing written in the Bible, in Malachi. And so I look at that, you know, and it's the same thing with the Sermon on the Mount. You can find that in the Book of Mormon, and you can find that in the Bible. And what that tells me is the importance of this. That he made sure that all of his people heard this, that everyone would know it. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even with this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." You know, we want those blessings from our Heavenly Father. And we want to know that we have been faithful. We want that reward, that everlasting at the end of our life. But we have to not kid ourselves and not be like that young man that said, "I've been faithful in all of the things. I have been obedient. I have obeyed all thy commandments." And yet he left the one thing undone. You know, I look at this and I think, well, how does that relate to me? You know, I need to pay my tithing. I need to be willing to do that and obedient in the things that Jesus Christ has taught me to do. And to be faithful unto his purposes. But for the church, if we want to see our church get stronger, if we want to see members come in, if we want to see the work increase, we need to pay our tithing. We need to do this and wait. And we'll see just exactly what it says. The windows of heaven will open up. And the blessings to the church will be members. The blessings will be a work increase. We need callings to the ministry. Those are blessings for the church that we're lacking. And we all know that. Have you paid your tithes? Have you been faithful unto God? You know, I can't say that God is withholding anything because people aren't paying their tithing. I can't tell you how much we should have. I just know it's down. I just know it's down. And I also know what Scripture tells me, that if we're doing everything that our Heavenly Father is telling us to do, if we are being obedient, he is good to his promise. And so I have to look at these things and I have to think, well, we're lacking somewhere. And so I have to think this must be one of them. And it's not for me to judge. And so each one of us need to search our hearts. Think about it. And if there's anything that we've let God down in, anything that we haven't fulfilled, we need to take care of it. We've been hearing all through this conference that we need to prepare, that we need to become more righteous. Well, let's not forget. We need to be obedient to all things. "And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, I think about the church, you know, and how it can bless other nations. Going into other, taking the gospel out into other nations and blessing. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what doth it profit that we keep his ordinances, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, them that tempt God are even delivered. And so let's not tempt God. And set aside our pride. And do as what our Lord is asking us to do. We define the tithe as a tenth of our increase. Offerings are donations above and beyond the tithes. These tithes and offerings are to be used for the building up of the kingdom of God in all nations. Bring all people to Jesus Christ through baptism. You know, that's the purpose of it. You know, and I've heard grumblings, and I'm just going to be honest. I didn't know if I was going to bring this up, but because of today's meeting and I've heard grumblings that there are those that are not happy with things in the church. And so they're withholding their tithing. And you know, if brothers and sisters, I'm going to say to you, if this is a thought that you've had and this is what you're doing, you're disobedient to God. And that's not me making that judgment. I've just read you the scriptures. And so search your heart and be wary and understand what our Lord has told us. You know, don't let these things become a stumbling block to you. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without fear, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, and unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so it's a commandment of our Heavenly Father to pay tithes. It's necessary. So I've got up here a definition of the word sanctify. It is to set apart or declare holy. Consecrate. And that's what we need to do with our time. You know, if I don't have a job that really benefits humanity. I don't have a job that increases the Lord's work. I go to a card factory and make greeting cards and little doodads and knickknacks is what they used to call them. And believe it or not, you can make money doing that. And, you know, that's really kind of a waste of time to do that. And I barter away my probationary time to make a little bit of money. Doing this worthless thing, that is worthless. But if I pay my tithing, that 10%. As it says here, set apart or declare holy. It sanctifies my time. And so I'm sure to do it. Because I don't want the Lord to look down at me someday and or straight across from me and say, you wasted your time. You could have been out spreading the gospel and saving your brother. But you spent all your time making money, making little doodads and greeting cards. So I'm sure to pay my tithing. Because I don't want to be in that position. I want my time to be sanctified. Dedicate to God. Make legitimate or binding by righteous sanction. You have to be obedient. It's necessary. If we look down in the end, to cause to be or seem morally right, acceptable. That's what I want to be, is acceptable. So I'm going to leave you with that. I tried to make it as quick. I actually had more things to say, but I know it's been a long day. And it's a hard subject. It's a hard subject. And thank you for bearing with me. And I hope I haven't offended anybody. And my purpose wasn't to offend anybody, but to remind us of what our need is and to remind us that our Heavenly Father wishes to bless us and that we need to always remember to be obedient and remember the blessings that can come of it and the joy and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time.